League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5
and 92.5. All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 9 o'clock. Time to bring in Josh Pate, our college football expert, the Josh Pate College Football Show on CBS Sports. Joining us once again, Josh, welcome back in. What a game. What a game you were at on Saturday night. It was so crappy the first half. And the second half, holy cow, what was it like being there in the middle of all that?
I didn't want to say it Saturday night. I didn't want to say it Sunday. And we've even let Monday go by. But it's middle of the week now. I am willing to say that is one of the two or three best I've ever been at, best environments I've ever been in. I think with college football, you try and explain it to your pro sports buddies. The best moments happen in the regular season. This is not a sport where you build to the best moments in the postseason. The games may be more consequential. They may get a higher rating in December and January, but that was as good as it gets. And I think you got to have an Ohio State and Michigan on the field or a Georgia, Alabama in that they compare themselves to each other. They staff against each other. They recruit against each other. And whether they admit it or not, down south, everything is done in Tuscaloosa and Athens with the other in mind. And so for it to play out that way between those two teams and then to feel it during it and then afterwards is unbelievable.
It was – so my son was obviously there. He works on Alabama's football side. He was bummed because he didn't get to meet Josh Pate. John, just so you know, he's a big Josh Pate guy. The kids love Josh Pate. And so anyway, he was down there in the end zone. He was showing me his where he got to watch a game and – we were, I mean, literally, Josh, we all watched it. At 28, you thought there's just no way. Carson Beck looks terrible. Alabama's rolling. What do you take away from the second half more? That Carson Beck and Georgia showed that they're better than they looked in the first? Or do you take away a little bit that what happened to Alabama in the second half where they just offensively couldn't do anything?
I'm going to tell you how I choose to look at this stuff. It's an atypical game, obviously, from a game script standpoint. So if I tried to make it about Georgia in the second half, there's this other side of my mind that says, well, yeah, but Kirby Smart himself told you afterwards that's about as atypical a game condition as they'll be in. It's very tough to evaluate it from a predictive standpoint. The way I choose to look at those games is I pretend it wasn't lopsided in either half in the net. I can make criticism or compliment about both teams based on how they played in a half. I just look at it as, how would I feel if this were a back-and-forth game the whole time and Bama won by 7? I feel in the aggregate, Bama overachieved a little bit relative to whatever expectation had been. And so, like, that's how I choose to look at it, because the other way will drive you crazy trying to figure out if Bama's really this or if Georgia's really that. I think we just saw a great game. You saw strengths and weaknesses of both teams. If they meet again, it won't be for another couple of months, at which point, if those staffs are worth their salt, those strengths and weaknesses, especially the weaknesses, will have been addressed. And so I kind of leave it for what it is.
Josh Pate with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. At halftime, they were what's his name? Booger. Booger was at halftime, and he's like, Travis Hunter is the – right after seeing Jalen Milroe the first half, he was saying Travis Hunter is the clear-cut favorite. Jalen Milroe's doing that against Georgia while Travis Hunter's doing that against UCF.
But Colorado is 4-1 right now.
They are 4-1, but they'll get to who they're playing versus who Alabama's playing. Cam Ward is in the conversation as well. How do you have those three, Josh, right now for Heisman?
I'd have Milroe number one. I don't really understand where anyone comes from in late September, early October, saying fill in the blank and it's not close. I mean, we're not halfway through a season. So the picture hasn't even unfolded. If we're being real, there are things that will decide the Heisman race that haven't even happened yet. So I don't know how we're talking about something as if it's decided. So if you want to go Travis Hunter, I got no problem with that. I personally this week would go with Milroe. Last week I probably would have told you Travis Hunter. So I do this crazy thing where I like to judge it week by week and like to keep my opinion fluid on the whole matter that should be a season-long matter. And I'm just telling you, man, watching Milroe, that's as good a performance, all things considered, as we may see in a game all year, Bama or otherwise. So I'm going to treat it as such myself. Anyone else can do whatever they want with their vote.
Boy, is that okay. Rank the wide receivers that you've seen or that so far. I mean, Smith at Ohio State is, but Williams at this 17-year-old kid is
Smith
incredible.
And Williams are special. Both He's of these special. Guys are extraordinarily special.
I think I'm going to use the strategy Meemaw taught me in the South. So if you grew up where I grew up, that's right in the middle of like Georgia and Auburn country, which means people are talking all the time about Bo and Herschel. Which one would you take, Bo or Herschel? So Meemaw taught me a long time ago, just tell whoever's trying to argue with you about it, they can have first pick, and you'll take whoever's left over. Well, there really is no losing proposition there. I will tell you this, though. Like Ryan Williams, I think there was a little more skepticism about coming into the season. Everyone thought Jeremiah Smith was going to be an animal, and he is. And he's probably one of not only the more freakish, talented players we've seen come out of high school, but also very polished. Ryan Williams, of course, skips the grade, and he's not an early enrollee, and he's smaller in stature, so there's just naturally more skepticism there. I had it, too. I mean, I remember talking in our preview for Alabama, and I said, hey, I think that guy's going to be really good, but they'll probably have to work him into the rotation as a true freshman. And he's been their best receiver from Bell 1.
From day one.
Started to really hear that out of fall camp. And, they're both insane to me. So I'll go fractions either way, but I'll let you have first pick. I'll just take whatever's left
over. So if you don't know Jeremiah Smith, he's 6'3", 215, comes from Miami Gardens, which cranks out a lot of talent in Florida. He is not only big, he's fast. He has great body control, plays like a veteran wide receiver. He's explosive, like just super talented.
And he can catch everything with one hand.
He's got 19 catches this year, 5 for touchdowns. He's averaging almost 20 yards per catch. And I just want to make sure we mention that, because if you haven't seen him yet, but you did watch Ryan Williams, you may think it's like nobody can touch Ryan Williams. These two guys are both on the same level. They're both true freshmen. I think Alabama's going to have their hands full with Ryan Williams. He is a little extra. How about the fact he put Michael Vick holding a dog as his avatar on his Instagram because he's a dog killer? I was like, hey, this may be a little much, Ryan. Easy.
So it's interesting what I would think about him from a distance as opposed to what I think about him. I got a little knowledge about him. I've been around him a little.
Oh.
Seen this before. Guys who are totally different when the game starts versus off the field. You talk to him, your concern would actually be, boy, this kid's kind of soft-spoken, a little shy.
Really?
I don't know if he's got that killer instinct. I guarantee you'd say that about him if you met him. And then you'd watch his play and you would say, there's no way this is the same human being. There is absolutely no way.
Wow. Did not know that about him. I know he's really, really talented. Do you have a feel for top team in the nation right now? I'm looking at, Georgia and and I thought Carson Beck did a nice job of answering. He's been kind of sleepwalking through the year. The first half was a disaster. He really showed what he's capable of the second half. I'm not sure that Kirby and their defense is as good as it needs to be. I didn't think that going into the season. Alabama's good. Ohio State's really good. I think Texas is really good. Like, how do you see the top four or five teams right now in college football?
So I think it's top six. Okay. I think you include Tennessee in that group.
Yes,
and I would say right now, I like to run numbers on this stuff. Right now, I've got 4 points of separation between one through six. So that's a really good thing. It means you got healthy competitive balance, at least at the very top. I mean, we got half a dozen teams that are in the top tier, and I don't know the last time we really said that in the first half of the season. And so I feel good about saying I put Ohio State at number one this week in power ratings. Mm-hmm. I would have no problem with Bama there. I'd have no problem with Georgia there. Texas, absolutely. I'm still waiting to see Oregon really hit the gas, and they got a shot coming up in a couple of weeks, obviously. Tennessee's in that mix. Be careful on the road at Arkansas this week. That Arkansas game hosting Tennessee is really interesting because Arkansas is in total desperation mode, wounded animal mode, at home. All the stuff you would say about a potential upset, you would say about that game. And yet, if Tennessee's really what we think they are, they should go in there and win anyway. They should go in there and win by 2-plus touchdowns anyway. So not will they win, but will they go in there and own the moment? That is very interesting about them. Hey, don't just overlook Auburn going into Georgia. Auburn's had critical turnover issues this year, but Auburn's looked very good absent the turnovers, which doesn't matter, but it only makes me wonder, is there a week coming where they all of a sudden just don't turn the ball over? Because if there is, that team could magically pop a top 15, top 20 caliber performance on you and have you in a lot closer game at the end than the spread would indicate. So everyone's going to sleep on that Auburn-Georgia game. I'll pay attention to that one as well.
Josh Pate with us here, college football expert, the Josh Pate College Football Show on CBS every week. Brought to you by Damaris Barbecue right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And we appreciate Damaris. Thank you for doing that, Yanni and Frankie, and the rest of everybody over there. Josh, the Pac-12 has been putting together a league over the last couple of weeks. Does it really matter? What is college football going to look like in 3-4 years? Are we going to have? Is it going to be a 48-50 team, one big league, or is it because of the television deals that the SEC and Big Ten are never going to give up what they got going on right now?
Well, I think they've figured out really how to present what they want in a front-facing manner. So the whole Pac-12 thing, I refuse to talk about it because I hate that conference alignment happens during a season. You got all spring and summer to do that nonsense. I don't want those headlines dropped on me during the middle of week six. Having said that, I don't think we're ever going to see a world where whatever the Pac-12 is viewed as equal to that of the SEC or the Big Ten again. I think the thing to pay close attention to, and I'm fairly certain you guys have seen these headlines, but if the listeners haven't, is this thing that's about to happen in Nashville next week. So the Big Ten and the SEC are going to have kind of a little quasi-unprecedented event here next week, closed to the public, obviously, where the athletic directors and the commissioners and power brokers are going to be here, and they're going to meet, and they're going to meet in the middle of a season, right in the midst of conference realignment, right in the midst of leading up to a look-in clause on that college football playoff deal. And what they want, at least reportedly, is 4 guaranteed playoff spots apiece. And I think anyone in their right mind understands that's either a leverage play or it's inevitably going to expand. Here's what we want in the expanded format play. Either way, it's a flex in signaling that we're going to run the world one way or another. You decide whether you want to be a part of it or not.
Yeah, well, they got that kind of power right now. I mean, those two leagues are head and shoulders above.
But does that never bother you, John, that we have to talk about how these people have power, and so they're going to exert it and over everyone else? Like, this just bothers me so much that the golden, you know, this is a golden goose era of college sports, and pigs get fat and hogs get slaughtered. And, I mean, right now there are so many universities and conferences that literally don't care about anyone else other than themselves. And instead of keeping it robust for a lot of people, they would rather squeeze as much as possible out for themselves and everyone else be damned. And in the meantime, it's going to eventually hurt their product because they're eliminating other colleges. I know, and that's
true. I mean, when you got the golden rule, when you got the gold, you make the rules.
That's true, but it just really bothers me that, you know, I thought it started with Texas and the Longhorn Network was one of the very first signs that, like, they're not really playing by the rules that everyone else is playing by. And then it had a domino effect on Nebraska, Texas A&M. You know, it had a domino effect. It was the beginning of the end for the Big 12, frankly. It just took a little longer.
Josh, where are you going this week?
Headed to College Station. I'll be right in your backyard tomorrow night, actually. Going to be there all weekend. And we are going to take a look at a rested Missouri team coming in there as a small underdog against Texas A&M. I think, and I want to say this very cautiously, I think there's another gear that A&M team can hit. If they do, then this is a perfect weekend to make a statement, at quarterback situation or not. This is the weekend to show roster-wise, 1 through 85, staff, etc., we are better than a perceived top-10 team.
Yeah, Missouri is a perceived team because they haven't played like a top-10 team.
Well, they're perceived, but they've got a little pedigree now with Eli Drinkwitz. They got Luther Burden. I mean, yeah.
But have they played like it?
But has A&M?
Well, nobody's saying they're a top.
But A&M's a favorite
Missouri
over the
is
other
top
teams.
10 team.
But they're a dog. That's what is a little puzzling to me is if you really think they're a top 10 team, why does Vegas have them as a small dog? A&M has not been impressive this year. They got a small cover. Last week. A cover,
Josh,
nonetheless.
But Marcel Reed has really taken over that job.
I think he has. I think to the point where even if Wigman's ready to go, I think Reed will start this Saturday. I think him and Le'Veon Moss running the ball match up a whole lot better than trying to throw it. Now, having said that, wouldn't be shocked to see Wigman in the game. There will be opportunities for him in the game, but I think you stick with and ride with what's been working for you recently.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, I think the fan base would be a little pissed off if you want to know the truth, because Reed brings, he brings something to the offense that they just hasn't had, that elusiveness, that ability to run, the dual threat that they really, really need. They got to have that with that offensive line. They've got to have that. That is Josh Pate, and he's here every week, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We'll look for you on the sidelines for that football game, Josh. Well, welcome to Texas, brother. And we
Thank
will talk
you.
To you again.
Hey, and don't skip leg days, okay?
Yeah.
Never. You know me, never.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I
got to make
know,
sure
Josh.
You keep the base strong, too.
Josh,
you
I don't
topple
know. It
over.
Seems like you're working them arms a lot harder. I don't know. That is Josh. that is Josh Pate right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Thanks again, Josh.
You just offended him.
Well, I'm sorry, but dude's got some guns.
He's got some guns.
He
said never. That he's like, I know, I work them both. He already told you, if I can't just get one workout in a day, like, that's really that hard that I can't find time for one workout?
Well, yeah, it's really that hard. I mean, yeah. I'm gonna work out during.
I like Missouri over A&M this week. I like them.
You do?
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of like the
last week and with five star. I gave you over Mike Evans yardage, easy W. And I'm telling you this week, I don't love the Aggs against. I think Wisconsin. I mean, I think Missouri will.
I don't know.
Clip them at College Station.
Has not played well. I'm gonna go. I'm going with the Aggs this week. -2.5.
Look at you. All agged up.
I am. Well, it's more the station for the Aggies.
All right. Well, you think the Cougs can score this week?
I didn't say that.
Okay. While we're making college predictions, will Houston break their stretch of, two straight games of shutouts? I don't know when the last time University of Houston scored a touchdown.
This is an interesting one. TCU Horned Frogs this week, -16.5 against the Cougs.
What's interesting?
Dana's working for TCU now. Oh. We'll see if he doesn't have something planned for him.
He going to say? Donovan Smith can't score.
He's helping the defense. So we'll see what he has in store for Donovan Smith this week.
Does it matter?
No, it doesn't.
It's not even Donovan Smith at this point. It's the offense can't score a single point.
No.
When is the last time Houston scored? Let's see. Houston scored in the fourth quarter against Wright. Donovan Smith had a 37-yard touchdown run in the fourth quarter with 7:10 to go. That's the last time they scored a point against Rice. Wow. And that was September 14th. That was in the summer. Now we're in the fall.
It's October.
Yeah.
Now it's October.
It's October and it's the fall and it's beautiful. The leaves are changing down here, John. You're missing it.
Well,
you're missing it. Beautiful. The leaves are finally changing.
I'm coming back. I'm coming back Sunday, just so you know.
You're already back?
I'm back Sunday, yeah.
You can't quit. No, Dell, you can't play.
No,
I love
coming back Sunday.
You can't play it for him. He's coming back.
I'm coming back. I'll be back in a couple of weeks, actually, just so you know.
Go into Newland. Go to grab a beer with that lady on the ride.
There it is.
Headed to the marriage.
You know who's not here in L.A.? Zadok.
Zadok Jewelers. He's just
have
let him have his
time.
Let him have his time, John. Go ahead, Dell. Do your song. Abigail's in there. He's afraid to sing now.
I'm trying to think of another lyric for John.
Everybody. It's just another perfect day. John loves LA. He's taking off his headset. It's no longer fun.
No, it's not fun anymore. John's not there for us to torment. I want to talk about Zadok Jewelers. Torment is not the word you use when you're trying to get engaged. That's a beautiful time. That's a great moment. That's a moment you're going to want captured. Listen, I know there are a lot of you out there right now that are going to do it big, and that's why Zadok Jewelers is perfect for you. You want to get the pictures, and you got to get it Insta. You got to get it properly, you know, properly lit for the Insta and everything. If you want to really make it perfect, you want to make something that is going to stand out for the engagement, let Zadok Jewelers do it for you. They're upstairs. They have two levels, and it's 28,000 square feet. The upper level is all about bridal. It's all about I do. It's all about finding a perfect ring, creating a perfect moment. And it's more than just a ring. They handle everything upstairs. Like, it's crazy the service that they offer. And this is the months coming up. This is when most people get engaged, is during the fall when the weather starts to break here. A lot of people go out and get their engagements done. So let Zadok Jewelers walk you through it, educate you on the diamonds, find the perfect setting, find the perfect ring, and make the perfect moment, make the perfect memory. Zadok Jewelers, 1801 Post Oak Boulevard.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 at 92.5. We got a problem. Gilbert has put the curse on the Astros because he didn't get his division hat. Lance is too lazy to go get him one today, okay?
And I could leave right now if you want.
You're not right now.
Well, then there we go. There we go. I can't do it then. I got a lunch meeting. I can't do it.
So, has anybody stopped off yet at the Astros team store?
Oh. Yes, actually, hold on a second. This is not going to help, though. But, yes, it's done. I got next day delivery, so it costs almost as much as the cap. But taking no chances. I don't need any money. I'm just telling you guys I got it. Dude is relentless. Hold on a second. This is the problem. Poor Marine actually purchased him a hat. He got the hat. When was this done, though? Did he order today? It's not going to matter unless they win. They have to win today.
Well, it'll matter.
He's getting it sent to Gilbert. He's getting it sent to Gilbert to the nursing home Gilbert's in. So actually, yes, he stepped up. Poor Marine on Twitch stepped up, and actually, the hat cost him $33.99, and shipping cost him $28.99. He just kicked in $62 for Gilbert for his hat.
Okay, Gilbert. Gilbert is on the line right now.
No. Where is he?
Patrick, how are you? I tell you what, Lou. I'll get my caveat after a Lou.
Wait a minute. Gilbert, can you take the curse off? Because the hat is on the way. It's going to show up tomorrow. It is going to be there tomorrow.
Yes,
100%. Can you please take the curse off?
He sent it to the nursing home. Yeah, I'm looking at his direct message to me here. I'm looking at it's sent to Gilbert Lou, although he spelled Lou L-O-U. That's not spelled right, is it, Gilbert?
Yeah, it's
L-U, right?
Sharpie Nursing Home.
7505 Belrive Drive, Houston, Texas. 77036. Yeah, that's it. It's sent to your name.
Yeah.
Astros Division Championship. So, John. What'd you say?
Gilbert, are you going to take the curse off?
Well, get the cap. Get the cap tomorrow. I hope they win today anyway. You got the cap. And last, thank you very much anyway. Last, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, when are you going to come?
Okay, you can ask me a question, but first you have to answer our questions. What did you just say? You said they're not going to win anyway today?
They'll win today anyway. You got my cap. That's good. It will win today.
Okay, so the cap. Hold on. We're not. Let me finish. Okay, so they are going to win today because the cap was ordered. It doesn't get there until tomorrow. One of our listeners spent $62 on your cap.
You'll win today. If you order a cap, you'll win tomorrow.
Okay.
You win today and tomorrow anyway.
Oh, thank God.
Also, the first baseman, and then a floor strike. That's the one big problem they have. Yeah. And then anyway, is the butt on base, you know. That make sense?
Not really. I didn't understand.
Did you catch all
that?
I
speak fluent Gilbert, and I really didn't get much of that.
Gilbert, can they get you a wired connection phone at all, like one of the old-school wired phones? Because we have a hard time hearing you on this one. And then your face will hit up against the button, and it'll go, beep. How's that?
Anyway, I got to live your phone of God anyway.
Didn't catch that one either.
All right, then. Well, go ask them, okay?
All right, how's that? Right. Hey, you got a hat coming. How's that sound?
That sounds good. Just have a wait for me anyway, you know.
We'll have a waiting for you. That sounds good. Thanks.
Thank you, Lance, anyway.
Yeah, no problem. I did it. Yep, so I'm good. So I've taken care of my part, even though it was a listener who did it all.
Anyway. Last week, I was praying for the enchiladas. When did they cook up in the enchiladas?
Oh, well, the enchilada was just kind of a...
No, he wants enchiladas.
I was just kind of... I thought he would say he didn't want enchiladas.
No,
so now,
he wants enchiladas.
So I said enchiladas.
We're out of enchiladas.
Enchiladas and cheese in there anyway, you know.
Yeah. And some cheese will be in there as well.
Yes.
Okay, I'll just... Is there a Mexican restaurant, somebody listening who wants to give me some enchiladas? I guess I can go to... Well, yeah, I've got... Papa C is a little expensive, but it's right by my house.
Yeah, but that's all right. Enchiladas for Papa C. There we go.
Yeah. What about tamales instead?
No, enchiladas.
Hold on. You don't have Gilbert's palate.
Enchiladas.
Gilbert, would you rather have enchiladas or tamales?
Enchiladas. I love enchiladas.
Dang.
I don't even think he's saying enchiladas.
Yeah.
What do you think he's saying?
Aunt Jemima's or something.
You think he wants Aunt Jemima?
Gilbert, say what you want again. What is it that you want? Listen.
Enchilada with cheese on her anyway.
Yeah, that sounds like Aunt Jemima.
It does.
Enchiladas. Enchiladas with cheese. You don't have Aunt Jemima with cheese.
Just cheese enchiladas, right?
Right.
And they come with rice and beans usually, so are we good with that? Spanish rice and refried beans?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay.
All right.
Wait a minute, Gilbert.
Since you're in such a forgiving mood, could you extend Lance's life maybe past 2027?
Yeah, you told me when I in 2017 when I was at 790, you once told me that I would die in 2027. And we would, yes, Abigail, that happened. And we were wondering, is your prediction still the same, or has it changed? Like, what are your thoughts right now? I hate asking this question, but when will I die?
Can you please extend that?
Do you? What are your thoughts on that, Gilbert?
What's that?
Do we believe he's causing the death or just predicting
the
death?
I don't think he's causing it. He's predicting. I don't think he can extend it. But if he can, well, he just said the Astros will win, Dell. He just told us the Astros would win today and tomorrow.
He put a curse on them. That's what he did.
He said, but if I don't get it.
He put a curse on Lance, too.
Did he or did he predict?
Gilbert, was that a prediction? Or are you sure? In 2017, you said I would die in 2027. Do you still think that or have things changed?
Yeah, you'll live for about another 37. I left sound.
That gave you an extra 10 years.
All right, got an extra.
Got an extra 10 years.
Yeah.
Well, Gilbert, you told me 32. Good. So can you extend me to 37
or so? Is John still dying in 2032?
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
well, there it is. When does Dell die?
Who's that?
That's you. The other
guy. You were born in 1960.
No, I wasn't.
Dell, when were you born?
Gilbert, I was born in the 80s, so do your figure that out.
1970.
I wasn't born in 1970.
When is Dell going to die?
He doesn't believe me.
Gilbert, when was
Gilbert, when was I born?
1970.
No.
I was not born in 1970.
You're talking to Dell.
Not John or
Lance.
Does
he know who you are?
Probably not.
Dell, do you know
who... I'm a millennial, Gilbert, so when am I dying?
Gilbert, do you know who Dell is?
I'm talking about Dell Lance.
No, I know, but when is Dell going to die?
You don't have an answer for that. I'm a child of God. You can't predict that.
I don't know. Prediction on Dell.
I told you, I'm a child of God. He will not do it. You too, evil.
Yeah.
He agreed.
All right, then.
What a great show. You just got – the Astros got a win, and you got another 10 years to live.
And you are still dying in 32.
I'm still in 32, but I'll bring him another meal.
I just got 10 years on my life.
I'll ask
you next
time I bring him another meal.
That is still kind of an early death for me, but still, it's better than it was.
It was drunk.
It's better than I was.
You were dying in 3 years.
I was dying pretty quick, Time's going fast. First I thought, I got 10 years, and it was like, I've only got 3 years.
I know. I'm coming up on 32.
You're coming up on me. Right, it's just,
Well, considering you, I felt like Gilbert's overestimating.
Run, tell the streets. The curse is lifted, says Twitch. The curse is lifted. He goes, went today, went tomorrow anyway, a hat. Beep. And then he just hits his phone with his face.
Is that what's happening?
Yeah, that's what's happening.
All right. Listen.
The curse is lifted. Man.
Here's a good news.
Thank you to me.
The curse is lifted, and I've got a solution for you.
He kept telling me, by the way, John, did you hear him? He kept thanking me. Thank you, Lance. It was poor Marine got the hat and paid over $60 for the hat.
How about that?
But then I still have to give him enchiladas anyway.
Right. When are you bringing my enchiladas? And when are you going to call HR&P? Because HR&P is waiting for your phone call. I need you to call HR&P and help your business. Customize a plan for your business. That's what they do. Every single business is different, and HR&P treats us all differently. We're not the same. All of the people, Chad from CEP and Chuck Watson has come in, and Marcus Payabla from New Orleans Seafood. And I mean, all of these people that have come in and given praises to what HR&P does for them. I'm telling you, your business is different, and they treat you, and they're going to treat you differently than they treat everybody else. That was the main problem that we had, was it was a cookie-cutter payroll company that we had before. We went and found HR&P, and they're like, no, your business grows, and you should get a discount on your payroll. So if you have a business that has 1,000 people, it's going to be different from somebody that has 80 people. It just is, okay? Technologically, the way that they do it is perfect. It doesn't matter how big your business is, how small, you don't want to do it with less than 15 people or so in your business. But after that, it's time. It's go time. Make your business better. Make it easier. Make it your payroll perfect. Make your HR perfect. Make your taxes perfect with HRP.net. 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
Easy, 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 easy You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5
good day
and
today.
92.5.
Never been so excited after losing a playoff game. Gilbert lifted the curse. I got 10 more years of my life.
Yeah, that's been a big show.
It's a lot of good things happening today. A lot of good things. You're still dying in 32, but a lot of positives for most of us here on the show. And Astros are winning. Gilbert said the curse is off. They win today and they win tomorrow. You know you can get the Astros plus 145 to win the series, John? Plus 145 to win the series. 100 to win 145.
This is a good time to bet them.
Yeah.
It's a really good time.
I don't even you couldn't parlay them and make that and get that kind of payoff, I don't think.
Do you think they'll hit today? Do you think so?
I think they'll hit enough, sure.
Yeah. You like five runs today?
Yeah, I like five runs.
Yeah, I don't know. When they go into a funk, they seem to go gets extended.
We've got trade for Highway Cantina. Judith was listening. So Highway Cantina, who came and brought food, it was fantastic. We'll go there. I'll get the enchiladas so Highway Cantina can make the enchiladas for me. Bing, bang, always, boom.
It's always best when it's free.
It helps, and it sponsors.
When Saltgrass did it for me, it was awesome. Got the call. And
yeah, but here's how this is going to work. I'm going to go there and eat lunch and then say, oh, let me get some enchiladas to go. Hey, Gilbert. I'm coming from Edo. It's a little bit of a drive, but I think you'll like this.
No, you just go down 59. You'll be fine. It's not far. It's not far off 59, so it's good. The Saltgrass was right. There was one right there. I went to the other one, but neither here nor there. Thank you, Saltgrass, for doing that, and thank you for the enchiladas as well. Mm-hmm. Nice job over there. What was the name of it?
For you talk about Highway Cantina.
Highway Cantina.
Yeah,
nice. Thank you.
We had them in. They were really good.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know. That's why they were so good. They were even better when you're not here.
Yeah. All right. Did we miss anything today, Dell, on our little show? Our little radio show here on the FM dial? Did we miss anything?
Let me see if there's some stories I've got.
There's nothing really. Von Miller won't be available tomorrow. Sunday.
Yeah. So we don't know what's going on, right? He's suspended for 4 games.
Well, we do know what's going on. Remember, he got in trouble last year.
Violence thing.
His pregnant girlfriend.
Is that what this is based on?
That's what they're pointing to, yes, from last year.
So they're using last year's in their okay, so they're going retroactively.
I guess they didn't make a ruling. All the information wasn't out at the time because it happened.
So something new, but something new came up, though.
Well, it happened in November, I think, of last year. I think that was around that time. So maybe they finally have the conclusion to whatever their investigation is, so they hit him with 4 games. So he won't play on Sunday against the Texans. Is there anything else?
That's good news.
Definitely.
That's good news. That's another thing. The Bills, do you think that Josh Allen wants another diva wide receiver if they should trade for Davante Adams? Davante Adams is now going, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be there. I don't want to be there. I mean, Davante Adams is another one. I mean, do you think he wants one after Diggs? And, oh, by the way, how big a game is Stephon Diggs going to have on Sunday? Do you think he's going to be pushing it for, hey, I need the ball. I need you to throw me the ball.
I worry about it a little bit. I mean, I'd love for him to have a big game. That'd be great, as long as it stays within the flow of the offense. You know, there's a bunch of fans who – and it's kind of the thing, right? You got to pick who you're going to get. If you're a fan, and I mean this with all sincerity, it's not even picking on people. I remember Derek Bell used to be the guy, and then it was Dave Clark, and it was Matt Maloney. Like, you have to pick who the one person is that you can blame everything on, when it's always more. Bobby Slowick is that guy now for Houston. Did you know that? Bobby Slowick's calling really bad plays. Bobby Slowick is a huge problem for the Houston Texans. Maybe time
Bobby
to move
Slowick
on from Slowick.
Did Bobby Slowick false start or hold this week?
I'm just telling you, Bobby Slowick, according to the streets, is just a massive problem for some people. For some people on Twitter, they believe that Bobby Slowick's bad play calling, which is always the easy way out for fans, if they don't understand what is going on with coverages and all that, you just say, it's bad play calling. The fact is, the coverages that are being run right now are taking an element of the game away from the Texans, and the Texans can't run a football. to beat two high shells, you got to be able to run the ball, and they're not running the ball. They're not running effectively. You want to get on Bobby Slowick? I hope you're mad because he's not calling enough run plays, because, frankly, running the football is how you beat those two high shells, is you've got to prove that you can run it.
I heard he just throws – it's all he does is run on first down. That's all I heard.
Does have a percentage of that, but –
Well, his percentage is not that high this year.
Right now, teams are taking some stuff away from CJ. I don't know what's going on completely. I did watch the coaching tape the other day, and it's just CJ typically makes the right reads, too. He's not making wrong reads. CJ's reading it right. I mean, and the stats, if you go by passing yards, you say, this offense is humming. I don't know. There's something just a lot of 50-yard field goals.
There's a lot of things beyond not being able to run the football. CJ is in the same category as Daniel Jones and Sean Watson as far as number of dropbacks, third and eight or more. As he is in unfavorable situations around, and those are the other two guys around him as far as that's concerned. Now, he's been able to overcome some of it because he's such a good player. The Texans are also the worst when it comes, since week one, the worst when it comes to run success rate. Like, they're at 23%. 23% of their runs since week one are deemed a success. The closest team to them is the Raiders at 28%. So the Texans don't run the football well, and they are consistently putting their quarterback.
Is it all Joe? Is it Joe? Is it the Colts?
Since week one, whatever that, you look into that however you want to. But, and the other thing is, they put their quarterback in situations where he has to overcome unfavorable situations too much.
I think throwing the ball early would really help him working backwards, because you know, the quick throws, what's the latest on Tank Dell on his injury?
I thought he's expected to play.
Expected to play, right? This would be a great time to get him some quick throws, let him, you know, just get the ball out quick, sideways, catch and run type stuff, quick little five little yard stop routes right there against the zone. Maybe work backwards where you're throwing early so that you are ahead of the chains early on, because then you get to second and five, Tunsil Far starts your second and 10, then you run the ball again, then you have a holding on Kenyon, then you throw first down, then you run, gain of six, then Tunsil false starts, you'll be at second and eight. It's kind of how these drives go. Then you got Shaq Mason false started, so now we're at second and 13. Then we complete a pass. It's third and one, and then they line up improperly. That's a five-yard penalty for lining up improperly. That's kind of how a drive looks right now for the Texans.
Yeah. And they've always – I mean, they got to stop shooting themselves in the foot with the penalties, and they got to run the ball better. And if they do those two things
– yeah, running the ball better really would cure a lot of it.
Cure a lot of stuff.
A lot of it.
I mean, how's the ankle? How's Joe's ankle?
Joe's ankle still not great. We'll know to – well, today, tomorrow's the big day, but I don't feel like it's probably going
well.
Great.
And I don't get their fining system. Derek Carr did a Michael Jackson crotch grab in the end zone and got $14,000, a $14,000 fine. Al Shaair punches somebody on the Bears sideline and he got $11,000. And then the guy who tackled Joe Mixon with the hip drop, I think his was $11,000.
His should have been $150,000.
His should have been. He should have to sit every game that Joe Mixon sits.
Coming from Lance Zierlein, the person who wore a shirt that said "ban the hip drop."
No, I said free hip drop.
Oh, free hip drop, exactly. Free hip drop. Now, but you want to punish someone?
No, I would give out free hip drop tackles. So that's what that meant.
So you don't have a problem with
it. I would give them out for free, but obviously I'm not a football player because I should be suspended. I should be suspended if I do that.
Amongst all the reasons.
Let me tell you something.
When we come back, news of the weird coming your way next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I want to talk about Coors Light. I want to talk about, do you think that I was at BW3 throwing down Coors Light,
yes,
eating wings, eating fries, and watching watching a ball game? Yes, yes, I was. The answer is to yes to all of those, every single one of those. And but the highlight was the Coors Light, the cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. I am a big fan. I'm an enthusiast. Now, I continued the Coors Light escapade over at the poker room and really enjoyed myself doing that as well. So, it just doesn't get any better. just can you please give me a Coors Light? If there's one way to satisfy a man, go get to his heart, it's through his Coors Light. It's through those Blue Mountains. And those Blue Mountains are blue because you know it's cold. Listen, if you're looking for the world's most refreshing beer, of course a man's going to be happy when you give him a cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. You ladies, you too. You can keep Texas chill as well. Cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. Climb on, brother.
Time now for News of the Weird.
People are weird.
With John and Lance.
That's real weird.
Good news for P. Diddy. If he is released on bail, which has been denied so far, but if he is, P. Diddy promises to ban women from his home if he's released from jail in a new plea.
That guy cares about women.
That shows that P. Diddy is
he is an ally. Diddy is an ally. You can tell because he bans women from his home.
Yeah.
Are you, though?
Yep.
Yeah.
He's an ally.
He's an ally.
So the behavior he's changing is to keep women out of his home.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And then he won't abuse them.
Yeah.
Well,
I think that's great.
I guess he knows himself.
Is he also going to keep men out of his home? Because have you heard all the stories?
Is he also banning men from his home? All of humanity out of his home.
P. Diddy's home is a human-free environment.
Yeah. That's right. It should be. He should be the only one there. But if you're going to try to quit smoking, what do? You give him cigarettes? No. So you keep people away from Diddy, and he won't do stuff to him anymore.
I mean, he's got a point, though.
Okay. Apparently, there is a 6,000-pound, 43-foot statue of nude Donald Trump.
I did see that.
Oh, I saw that. Why are they doing this again?
Well, it's called Crooked and Obscene. And apparently it made its debut in Nevada, and they have kicked it out. It is going to make a tour around the country, and he's completely nude. You see all the veins and everything else.
What kind of country do we live in?
And it's
what
not
are
like,
we doing?
And it's not like a Ken doll.
What I mean is Ken
has like no parts.
Right.
This one has parts.
Who's doing this? Who's spending money to do this?
They're anonymous.
Mark Cuban.
No. I don't know. It might be Mark. It might be. But apparently it's and it is in effigy of him. Do you want to see it when it comes to Houston?
No.
No, I don't want to see it.
You don't want to see the gigantic 43-foot, 6,000-pound Donald Trump?
You mean like they have to drive up to it and just check it out?
I don't want to see it.
I've seen it online already. It's not pretty.
Ooh.
It's not good.
Oh, the online of that.
No,
yeah, it's the picture. Yeah, the video
stomach
of it.
The stomach is especially not attractive. It's supposed to,
I guess, mimic what he actually looks like as far as his entire body. I don't know how they got all the measurements correct, but they tried.
Yeah. They were not very flattering. Not very flattering, I don't think. I don't know. A surgeon in England, apparently he was working at an NHS trust. He couldn't find a scalpel, so he used the penknife that he had just used for his lunch to cut his fruit to cut open the gentleman. Do you feel like
work?
They should? Did the Royal Sussex Hospital in Brighton should get more scalpels?
Yes, but I like the fact that man just knows how to make things. Yeah, he's resourceful.
How about we focus on how resourceful that doctor
was? All we did was talk about MacGyver forever about how look what he can do with all this stuff. How about say the same thing about the doctor and start? Don't tell me how big the. What do you always say, John? Don't tell me how big the waves are. Just bring the ship in.
Well, this particular hospital, 4 whistleblowers said patients had died unnecessarily and effectively maimed there.
Oh.
And they're facing manslaughter charges.
Oh, that's not great.
So is it about the tools or the person holding the tools?
I think it's the people that are all there working there.
The tools aren't great either, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think. And. They need more. They need more scalpels. I think.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure they need more scalpels.
Up the scalpels.
All right, we're done. Mopey and Mapes are next, right here.
That's
on ESPN
97. That's not true per se because there is no Mapes today.
And Abigail's covering the camera, so no one can see her on the stream.
Abigail, don't cover the camera.
That's Lance's idea.
That's been discussed.
It's your idea. It's up to Abigail if she wants to do it or not. If she wants to,
it'll be funny.
She's allowed to.
Let the people see you.
It'll be funny.
Or not. So, she can choose. She doesn't have to be on camera.
No, she doesn't have to
In fact, we don't even have to do the whole let's put a towel over the camera. There's a setting where the producer's not on screen.
Oh!
So we can do that, too. To upset everyone.
That'll make everybody nuts. You think they want to look at you or Abigail?
But they already hate me anyway. I don't care.
I know,
Why
right?
is Sean not there? Is there a new season starting? Is this today signing day on in College Football 25?
No, he's moving today.
Okay.
Oh, did you get his address for everybody?
Why would I get his address?
Get his address so that people can come and visit.
Sean doesn't want people visiting him.
You don't know
He's
that.
Too busy
you don't know.
Plotting on Quinn Ewers' downfall.
I thought he loves Quinn Ewers.
No, he loves Arch, not Quinn.
Oh, wow. Well, Quinn's coming back, by the way.
Yeah, after the bye week, Quinn is expected back.
Yeah, Quinn's coming back, so sorry. Sorry, Mapes. We're done. Abigail and Dell are next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, everybody.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.